about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, at first it was a real brain twister, but then I remembered a quote from a renowned poet from my earth, Alfred Yankovic.
Are you talking about Weird Al?
Why, because of the hair? Get to the point already, if you have one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, were you able to send that email to Adrian?
Oh, yes, he wrote back right away. It wasn't as graphic as I feared. He wrote, the number 8... equal sign, 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 capital D. Oh, I see what this is. This is a...
Yep.
Ay, Dios mío!
Stop being such a prude!
Tell that to my wiener!
And now...
Halloween spooks.
Outside my window.
Catchy little song, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Two of those three in that band are still together. The other third one died.
They should all be shot. They should all die. That's all I'm saying.
Our feature presentation.
No memory of that whatsoever.
But it's a very reasonable conclusion that
right.
If you don't like a song, the people of the band should be executed, right?
In certain instances, yes. Not always, but in this particular instance, yeah.
I see. Stand by it.
They should be shot, yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 11th of October.
Kevin, you're our soccer expert.
I wouldn't call myself an expert.
Well, I mean, you are. You certainly follow it more closely than the rest of us. Do I? I'm a casual fan, I think. But you're hardcore. You're all
yes.
in.
Yes, yes.
And when I woke up this morning and I saw the headline that the men's team failing to make the World Cup for the first time in 31 years is the greatest embarrassment in the history of U.S. team sports,
USA!
I thought... I thought, I'm going to need my man, Kevin, to put this in perspective. How awful is this?
Well, I mean, as of, I think, yesterday morning, there was a 93% chance that the U.S. would qualify.
Mm-hmm.
93% chance. And all we had to do is tie.
Mm-hmm.
They had to tie a team that isn't very good, from a tiny nation, a low payroll team.
Total population of 1.3 million people.
Oh.
Right? And they fielded a team that beat us.
Yes.
Okay.
Beat us 2-1.
Huh.
So, and then a couple of other games went the wrong way. Like it had to be a perfect storm for the U.S. to get knocked out, but the perfect storm happened.
Yeah.
Mexico lost, so Honduras, I think, lost or somebody else. And, yeah, it's, I mean, it's not great.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
All right.
Is it
yeah.
great?
I'm trying to, I mean, and these are the same players who haven't made the Olympics for the last two Olympics, too,
I mean,
right, in soccer.
Sure. Although,
so the program,
although in the Olympics, they have an age restriction where you can have like three exceptions over 23 years old or something like that. They make it different so that it's not the same as the World Cup.
But the program has been bad for a long time.
I mean, it's.
It sounds like.
Been okay and then pretty good and then not so good and then bad. And then
so,
bad and then bad for a while and then now bad.
It's time to be all in on women's soccer then, right? I mean, that's where it's
I mean,
at.
They're number one in the world.
I mean, why weren't you before?
I was.
Right.
No, I'm talking to Bean. Like, they're the ones that win all the time, right?
Yeah, right. They dominate, yeah.
Yeah.
And they
get paid as much, so
they
that's...
They don't quite get paid as well.
No? Oh,
no,
but they win all the time, so that's...
That is... Yes,
they're
that's
better.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Technically.
And tell me if I'm wrong about this, too, because I feel like there's so many benefits to... showing up and doing well in the World Cup, not just for that program, but to grow new fans.
Yeah, of course.
Because the World Cup is the biggest soccer event in the world, no duh. But, I mean, even in America, that's when most people who are casual fans, like the people who only follow other sports in playoffs, that's when they start following soccer. Oh, we're in it? USA, USA? Yeah. And that's how you develop even more and more and more fans, not only to play, but to watch and enjoy
yeah.
and follow soccer, right? So this hurts us down the road. This doesn't just hurt us for 2018 in Russia. This hurts us for soccer
yeah,
fans
good.
For the next 10 years, I see.
Did you see... I think his name is Taylor Twellman.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Did you see him on ESPN?
I did not see that.
He burned his mother down, didn't he?
Good.
8 minutes long of burning the mother
good.
Down.
Yeah.
With just the rage was going higher and higher. And it was,
he's a former player and commentator now, and he said, look, I mean, essentially he said, replace them all, right?
Yeah, he's
had.
That's
what I was saying, too. Clean house, all the way up to the top. Yeah, all the way up to the president of U.S. soccer.
Yeah, he even said the people selling sodas in the stands, get them out. If you would have given Taylor one more minute, he would have said that.
But people were tweeting me because I was a big fan of getting rid of Jurgen Klinsmann and having Bruce Arena do it. And Bruce Arena came out after the game and said to do anything, you know, extreme would be just crazy right now. That would...
After they lost?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
Bruce.
That's not the time to be saying steady as she goes.
Goodbye, Bruce.
See you, Bruce.
He needs to go.
Not shot
in this case, no, okay. But he does need to go, does everyone else.
But the guy who sang that song, though, he needs to be shot. Bruce Arena just gets away with his life, though, you're saying.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Because Halloween Spooks is a personal, you know,
yeah,
problem to me.
Are we at the point where they need to hire you to run this program?
I mean, could I do worse?
I
don't think you could.
I could coach them and miss the World Cup. Right? I could do that.
You could.
I think a lot of people don't know. It's over 200 nations try out for it. And then when you see the World Cup, that's only the top 32. So it's sort of like a final of 3 years worth of playing in. So,
yeah.
So good times.
Well, very disappointing.
But 2022,
sure.
Am I right?
USA!
Sure, why not?
That's the next World Cup?
Yeah, it's 4 years.
Yeah, 2018 and then 2022. So we're looking ahead.
I feel like soccer's more often.
Well, it is. There's a lot of other things going on.
No, this is it. From what I heard, this is the only soccer game match thing.
All right. Do we have 1 minute to tell you about my new friend in Melbourne, Australia?
Sure. B makes friends everywhere.
I do. His name is Jacob Bortz, 19 years old. I've never heard of this before. This is a guy who enjoys being tased. He wants to get tased. Now,
is it a sexual thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what is wrong with him that he would enjoy that, but this is not the first time he has gone out of his way to get in an altercation with the police so that they would tase him. It seems like he could just buy his own taser and have his friends and family do it. Why, you know, why risk being arrested and getting a record and everything like that for your thrill? But he approached a police officer in the street the other day, just flailing around, claiming that he was God, by the way, fists clenched, sweating profusely. So maybe he's got some other issues besides the taser thing. The officer told the man to halt, threatened him with a taser. Bortz then lunged at the officer, striking him on the left side of the head. The officer shot him with a taser and his abdomen and his right thigh, to which point he was knocked down and then just started laughing while the charge was still flowing through his body, saying, I love it. I like the pain. What's going on here?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that
I don't know. That's crazy.
A switch that's been flipped or something where he's just feeling things the rest of it. Somehow it feels good to him, but for the rest of us, we hate it. It's like the people who love the super hot peppers or something like that. Like the rest of us are like, why? How is that fun? How is that good? And they're like, I love it.
Has he done this before a bunch?
He's done it before.
Huh.
He continued to refuse the officer's demands to lay down and put his hands behind his back. The officer then attempted to tase Bortz again as he tried to stand up. But worst case scenario, you guys, the device malfunctioned. Now you're ticked off.
Oh,
all you're trying
on.
To do is be tased. And now the taser doesn't work. So the police officer had to tackle the man to the ground. Another officer came in and they arrived on the scene to take Bortz into custody. He's been charged with battery on a law enforcement officer, resisting an officer with violence and resisting an officer without violence. They got the hat trick there.
Wow.
But I'm sure he can figure out a way to misbehave in prison, right?
I mean, if you want to get tased, you can get tased.
You can get tased.
Yeah. Do they tase you in prison as much?
Probably not.
I think they do. What do you think they do to you in prison when you?
I mean, if they need to get you under control,
start a fight or something like that. I think they would come in and tase you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so prison maybe the best place for him,
right?
Okay,
may stay there for the rest of his life. But that's just I saw that. I thought how weird it is. It's the only person I've ever heard of who enjoys that because
I've never heard of that.
Go out of their way to avoid ever being tased
because don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me,
because
bro.
Right? Yes,
exactly.
That's why. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Butt stuff. You're the butt stuff. Butt stuff. Butt stuff.
Okay, thank you. If you missed the breakfast with Foo Fighters yesterday, it was fantastic. We've got some highlights for you in about a half hour here.
Yeah, we're going to play some highlights from the interview, but I got to tell you, we only are allowed to play this thing for 24 hours. That runs out when, Kevin? Is it 24 hours from
7 a.m.
when it started?
I think so. It's 7 a.m., I think.
So if you want to watch the whole thing, you better do it now.
Also on the program today, bizarre beauty trends. I don't know if you've seen the nose hair extensions.
Come on.
Has anyone seen that?
Finally.
I mean, right? Not by choice.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh. Nose hair extensions. They put them in. Yes.
Not like you just let one grow and you're like, hey, I'm just going to baby
one,
that.
You take that one and then you add an extension to it.
Come on.
Right?
Come on.
Right?
No.
Right?
Uh-uh.
We're going to talk to Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter about Harvey Weinstein.
He's for or against what's going on?
At this point, everyone is against.
Not Lindsay Lohan. Oh, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Okay. It's Wednesday, so we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. The scariest movie moment that you have experienced, we're going to talk about on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And we've got your tickets for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl. We got your tickets coming up. Plus, it's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday. Hey, Ralph Grabman.
Hey, boys and girls.
You're back.
I am indeed. This Harvey Weinstein thing is just turning into, it's getting worse and worse. It's really criminal, his behavior. More and more women are coming forward. Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie both told the New York Times that Harvey attempted to lure them into physical encounters in hotel rooms back in the 1990s. Gwyneth Paltrow said that they were in a hotel room for a meeting, one of his many meetings that he had with that young actresses, and Harvey placed his hands on her, suggesting they needed to head to the bedroom for massages. I was a kid. I was signed up. I was petrified, she said, but she was able to get out of that situation without having it turn worse.
Hey, now that there are allegations of rape in addition to sexual harassment, are the police investigating to find out when and if it's possible to start thinking about bringing charges?
Again, it all comes down to that statute of limitations thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not the Bill Cosby thing again.
Unfortunately, yeah. As being mentioned, three women have come forward in this new article in the New York Times saying that he raped them. Four said they experienced unwanted touching. 13 women are talking about sexual harassment and assault. Actresses, including Mira Sorvino and Rosanna Arquette, say that they felt, after they rebuffed his advances, that their careers suffered because of it. And then yesterday, his wife, Georgina Chapman, who is the designer and creator of Marquesa, the fashion line, she announced she is divorcing him. So, I can't imagine. They have two kids together. I can't imagine what she's going through.
Oh,
no kidding. Freaking nightmare. But, on the upside, he does have Lindsay Lohan in his corner. Harvey Weinstein had Lindsay Lohan come forward yesterday in a video on Instagram that she posted from her bathroom in Dubai, like you do.
Sure.
And she expressed her support for Harvey Weinstein. How is it possible for her to be on the wrong side of every amazing topic? And I love her her curious accent, too, now that she's adopted. You can hear it for yourself. It's only 26 seconds long. Here is Lindsay Lohan supporting Harvey Weinstein.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Hi, I'm in Dubai. I'm home, and I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me, and we've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong. So stand up.
So stand up and stop. Stop and stand up. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to stop or am I supposed to stand up? Now I'm confused.
How dumb is she that she thinks because it didn't happen to her, it didn't happen to anyone?
He's never harmed me or did anything wrong to me. We've done several movies together, so I think everyone needs to stop.
What the hell?
Sounds like Dave the King of Mexico.
It does.
Yeah, it's...
She's the only person that's come out in support of him,
well,
right?
How can you?
I know, but I'm saying...
It's insane that even she's stepping forward and saying everyone needs to stop, and I think what's happening to him is bad.
She also deleted those, so I think someone smart at least said, dude, delete those. You're a freaking idiot.
Oh, man.
She's
hey,
something.
When you post a video on your Instagram page, is it necessary to identify yourself at the top of
Hello, this is Lindsay Lohan. I am home. And everyone should stop and stand up and turn around and put your left foot in. You put your left foot out. Insane.
It's weird on every level.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lenny James Morgan from The Walking Dead is 52 years old today. Luke Perry turns 51. Harry Connick Jr. is 50. Jane Krakowski, 49 years old today. No bell for Jane Krakowski?
What do you guys think?
Yes.
She's a very talented.
You don't think she's beautiful?
She's attractive.
Okay.
Emily, Kevin, Al, you want to weigh in here?
I think she's definitely a belle.
All right.
Emily Deschanel is 41 years old today.
It's a weak belle.
It was.
Matt Bomer from White Collar. I missed that show. He's 40 years old today. He's dreamy. Michelle Trachtenberg is 32. And Cardi B. Oh, Cardi B. Cardi B with the Kodak yellow. White? White? Mm-hmm. Close?
Kodak something. Black?
I thought the other guy was Kodak Black. She's
Bodak Yellow.
Oh, she's Bodak Yellow. Yes.
Right.
She's a Steelers fan.
I'm down with OPP. What?
What?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, Bean.
You guys remember the Foo Fighters times? Foo Fighters times were so fun. Why can't that be every day?
I agree.
Why can't they just be house band?
I feel like they have other things to do.
Right, but wouldn't it be cool if every day we came in and the Foo Fighters were just standing by just to do some live songs?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, I'd love that so much. Yesterday was the day for Breakfast with Foo Fighters. As we pointed out during the broadcast yesterday, I hope you had a chance to listen or tune in or watch it at KRock.com. It had been almost exactly 10 years since the last time we did Breakfast with Foo Fighters. And I think those two Breakfast With are probably in my top five breakfasts of all time. That's how great these guys
are. Yeah, agreed.
So talented, so fun, so funny, so generous. They played a million songs and took a million questions, and we couldn't have had a better time. And if you weren't with us yesterday, you didn't get a chance to hear it. We do have some highlights for you from some of the conversation we had with the boys.
Well, they played Cal Jam on Saturday. That was their festival with Queens of the Stone Age and Liam Gallagher and a whole bunch of other artists. And near the end, they wanted Liam Gallagher to come out and sing Come Together. And so we asked him about it.
Let's talk about Come Together. It was apparent that he had never heard the song before, right? I mean, we can all agree on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird words in that song. I mean, that's all. That, you can't just do it. You have to have the words there. And he wasn't going to do it with us. At first he was going to. And then he said, no, my voice is wrecked. I can't do it. And then we went into it. And Dave's like, no, Liam's coming. And then he walked out, as he does. Like, only, like, Mr. Jefferson and Liam can walk. And he had his hoodie over in his closet. Gave me a big kiss on the lips. And then went out there and was Liam Gallagher.
And he had a scroll out in front of him, and yet he got all the words wrong.
It's so much better, though.
It didn't even matter. It was Liam Gallagher. All we wanted was Liam Gallagher on stage with us.
It was a
we
personality
didn't care how.
So that was pretty crazy. The fact that they didn't even care if he got the words right.
Yep.
That's awesome. Rick Astley. Bean, give the quick backstory of them and Rick Astley.
Well, it's just that he seems to be at half their gigs now. They do that thing where he comes out on stage and they sing a mashup of Smells Like Teen Spirit and Never Gonna Give You Up. And I was just fascinated how that whole thing got started.
So we were doing this show at a festival in Japan. And at the same time, we were being asked to record a cover song for the BBC.
Right.
And so we thought, oh, we should do Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. So we get to Japan and we look at the poster for the show, and it was the craziest lineup ever. It was like Foo Fighters and Baby Metal and Kesha and Rick Astley. And we were just like, oh my God, this is insane, man. So we always have a jam room backstage so that before we go on, we can warm up. And so Taylor and I are like, we got to learn this Rick Astley song, man, because we got to record it when we get home. So we start playing around with it. Then the other guys come in, and then it kind of turns into Smells Like Teen Spirit because they're sort of exactly the same song. Like, the arrangement is exactly the same. So we're, like, mixing it up, and we're like, oh, do the drum part thing, and then you do the guitar thing, and we're cracking up. And so we did it, like, five times in a row because it was so funny. And then we went on stage 20 minutes later. We're playing our set. It's at the stadium, and I look, and I see Rick Astley on the side of the stage. Never met him before. You could see him from a mile away.
Sure, of course.
He looks exactly the same. And I'm sitting there in the middle of a song, like, oh, my God, Rick Astley's on the side of the stage. It's amazing. So I... in the middle of the song, I run over. I'm going, like, hey, man, I'm Dave. And he's like, I'm Rick. And I'm like, I know. And so I just said, hey, do you want to come out and do that song with us? And he's like, sure. And we had never met, and we had just learned it 45 minutes before that. And there was a stadium full of people, and he had the balls to come out and do it. And he killed it.
Imagine Dave Grohl looking at somebody and going, I know, this is crazy.
What I love about that clip so much is here's a band that's been together for 20 years. They still are having so much fun doing it.
Yeah, agreed.
I love that.
We talk about Paul McCartney playing drums on one of the songs on the new album.
The song originally, we started writing it, and I thought that Taylor should sing it because Taylor's got a great voice, and he's sung on Foo Fighters records before. I was like, oh. And so I thought it'd be great. So I was going to play drums on it. So then our engineer, who had recorded Paul before, said, we knew that Paul was coming into town. He said, you should ask Paul if he'll play. So I just asked him, and at first he was like, you're crazy, I don't know. And then we saw each other, and he asked me about it again and said, what about the song you're thinking? And then I realized he actually wanted to do it. And he came in, and I swear we did one take. He'd never heard the song before. We barely explained it to him, and he just did it. And he's just such a natural musician.
You didn't rehearse it?
No.
Wow.
Dave literally said, okay, here's how it goes. And he started ran through about a third of it. Paul's just like, oh, man, let's just play it. And literally he sat down behind the drum set. All the guys stood around him. I held the drumstick to kind of go chorus, verse, and mellow. And he just watched us and watched Dave. I mean, the guy was in the Beatles.
Right.
He's not going to teach us anything. Or he's not going
to... The other way around.
We're not going to teach him anything. Sorry. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Crazy.
I love also... God, I love everything about this band. And I'm hearing it back, and I'm just thinking about how cute, forgive the term, are Taylor and Dave together. What a bromance they have, right?
It's nice.
I mean, they do look at each other longingly.
They sure do.
And you don't see that very often. A lot of times band members are band members, and they...
Yeah,
you know,
it's work.
It's work, and they don't really... They do seem to really enjoy each other. And then they told us... This is the final clip that I have. They told us the first time that they met, the reason they met is because they were at the 1996 K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show, and Alanis Morissette was there, and Taylor Hawkins used to play drums for Alanis Morissette.
So Dave Grohl's my hero, obviously, then, and I thought the Foo Fighters' first record was, like, the best record of that year. And I just wanted to be his friend. But I thought, well, he's really cool, and I'm a dork, so he's never going to like me. And I walked past him all scared, and he goes, hey, dude, come here. And I was like, me? And he's like, yeah, come here. And I went, hi, man. And you're like, dude, you're really good tonight. And I was like, I walked away going, he's cool, too, man. He's really nice, too. I can't believe it. You could be that cool and nice. True. I don't know where all that niceness went. But I didn't kiss him. Never on the first date. Nope.
They are a national treasure, guys. It was an honor to have them here yesterday. So much fun. Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Not going to lie, we really are going to talk about nose hair extensions coming up in about 10 minutes or
That's
so.
That's a here thing.
That is a thing.
I'm doing it. I've decided.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'll help my look. I'd like to see it.
First, though, Donald J. Trump is president, you guys.
What?
And I gotta give it up for him. There's never any shortage of interesting stories to talk about when it involves the president. And he has been on a roll lately. You know that that story that was reported a couple weeks ago about his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, calling him a moron?
Yes.
Donald Trump says that didn't happen. There's no way that happened, even though it was confirmed independently by multiple sources. He says, no, that didn't happen. But it seems like he has become obsessed with how smart people think he is. Mm-hmm. And he was doing an interview with Mike Huckabee on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. And he, I mean, essentially he challenged the Secretary of State to an IQ test, which – can you imagine?
Oh, that would be so great.
Don't you want the Secretary of State to say yes?
Wouldn't that be great?
If yes, that was pay-per-view, we could actually make enough money to take care of Puerto Rico,
right?
The next disaster, everything.
You go to a classroom, they get those little desks that you
yes.
get. Number two pencils. All right, and go.
That was so great.
And they, I mean, seriously, I feel like Donald Trump would do it. I really do. If we can get Mr. Tillerson on board, I think we got ourselves a show. And Allie, you're right. We make so much money. And we make it a verbal test, right? Mm-hmm. We ask the questions out loud. And imagine how great that would be to sit there and watch that. By the way, I would suck at an IQ test. I'd come in at around 60. I don't remember anything I've ever learned that they would ask you at an IQ test. But if these guys are willing to try it, I'm willing to watch
it. I'm all in as well.
All right, give me the big theme song. Let's get the president back on and find out about the IQ test, about those comments, and some of the other things that are going on in the news lately. Mr. President, how are you, sir?
I am very, very smart, okay? Mm-hmm. I've gone to the best schools.
Right. Yeah.
I know all the best words.
Right.
I am smartly much.
What? You are.
Seems like you're obsessed with how smart you are.
I'm very, very, very smart.
Right, but
everyone knows it. Everyone asks me, how smart are you? And I tell them, very, very smart.
Why do people ask you how smart you are,
because
then?
Because they say, if everyone knows Trump it. An intellectual? Absolutely.
I see.
He has the most intellectual. Not only is he intellectual, he's out-intellectual.
Uh-huh. So when you said that if you have to compare IQ tests, I can tell you who is going to win.
I can tell you who's going to win. That's all I'm saying. We know who's going to win that one.
We're in, by the way. We would like this to happen. How about you?
All right. How much?
How much money?
Yeah, how much would you pay?
Well, we have to pay you to...
You're the one that brought it up.
It was your idea.
But that's how good I am. I make these great deals. I make so much money. Just on the phone, I can make money. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
I'll pay whatever I can afford to make this happen, Mr. Trump. Right. I got to be honest.
I got you down for $8.
All right. So just before we move on, so Rex Tillerson, your Secretary of State, in your opinion, did or did not call you a moron?
I think that's fake news.
Fake news.
Okay. I don't think he said that.
Okay.
And the whole IQ thing was a joke.
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
Oh.
That's what Sarah told me yesterday.
Nice. Oh, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That I made a joke. Mm. So, ha, ha, ha. I'm also very funny. I'm very smart and very funny. Mm.
All right. Speaking of a fake news, in the same interview with Governor Huckabee, you had this to say, Mr. President.
The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it.
Yes, fake. Mine.
So, I
created fake.
You didn't create the word fake.
I did. Maybe some other people used it, but I don't remember hearing it before me.
I feel like, and I don't know, I'm no expert, but I feel like that word has been around
Wrong.
For hundreds of years.
Wrong.
Fake. I mean, it's a term we've all used.
It's a super generic word, too.
Everyone listening has used the word fake before you got into public office.
It's one of the best things that I've created.
You didn't create fake.
I also named Hootie of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Did you?
That was mine. Wow. Okay. The word plate. Plate is mine.
Plate.
For me, people say, oh, give me a round thing to put my food on. I called it plate.
No one ever said that.
I was using the word plate when I was a little kid, Mr. President.
Yo-yo. Mine.
Okay. Yo-yo.
Give me the round thing on the end of the string toy.
Yo-yos?
Yo-yo.
Were around before you were born,
yo-yo,
sir.
Yo-yo. Mine. Fro-yo. Also mine.
Is that right?
Anything with yo in it. Yo MTV Raps. Mine.
That's yours?
That's yours, huh?
Clamato. Mine.
Oh.
Saliva created it. The name Barbara.
What are you talking
okay,
about?
Just,
carpet was mine.
It's not at all true.
Oh, this cloth floor feels so good. And I said, let's call it carpet. And the rest is history. Oh. Suck on that, Rex.
Do you guys think the problem is that that girls don't have long enough nose hair? You think that's the issue? You think people are walking around going, you know what? I don't have any nose hair. It's not long enough. Girls.
It wouldn't be my choice to accentuate that area of my body. No, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be. But we kind of got on the topic, and we'll talk about the nose hair extension. We kind of got on the topic yesterday off the air of these bizarre beauty trends. And Allie, tell me if I'm wrong about this. I think there have always been people have always done crazy things and invented new ways to do makeup and hair and everything like mm-hmm. that. But I think right now, a lot of people are going, what would be funny or what would stand out or what would get attention on Instagram? What can I do to my face that would be a great Instagram post? Don't you think that's what's
100%.
Happening here?
It's all beauty bloggers that use – remember when – And I say, remember when? This morning, when you put those things in your bra, the little inserts, chicken cutlets is what they're called. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, one day, women were using those to put makeup on their face. It became a thing, like joking around, I'm going to use this. Then these silicone pads came out, and those were actually sold. So it's
so
just
it starts as a joke.
Sometimes.
Or just an attempt to get attention.
Yeah.
And then other people go, hey, that's a thing.
I could actually invent that, and it would be great. So well, this might be on the way to being real.
This might be real. I mean, I saw a few weeks ago was the first time I saw barbed wire eyebrows. Have you seen those where you sculpt your eyebrows into a shape that it makes it look like a fence, basically? And somebody, it was a makeup artist who did it as a joke. But then other people started doing it, including beauty gurus, they're called, and it became a legit look, just like the squiggle eyebrows. Have you seen the squiggle eyebrows?
Mm-hmm.
Huge on Instagram. Now, where did something like that come from where you make your eyebrows squiggly? And people don't do it because they think it looks good, do they?
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, a one-off type of thing. But then you see those waves, and those were on some of the fashion runways. People were doing that and getting a lot of press because the models looked amazing. And then you looked at their eyebrows, you're like, wait, what?
It's all about getting attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you seen, Allie, glitter roots? Glitter roots are very big right now.
That's old. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because they still seem to be working out. Kevin, what's going on with your nose hair extensions?
I mean, nose hair extensions.
No.
Are a thing.
Mm-mm.
They're a thing.
Mm-mm.
Isn't? And I think what's most puzzling about this one is the nose hair, almost everybody does everything they can to keep that in check, right?
Yeah.
Not let that get out of control.
Yeah, but that's why then somebody comes along and says, that needs to be extended. And then everybody goes, yes, yes. Here's some audio from that.
Nose hair extensions. Instagram user Great Chen Chen posted this photo and as a joke left it up to beauty bloggers to try and make this a thing. Well, girls started popping up with tutorials on how to pull this look off. So you can see there she's using fake eyelashes. And then you just shove them up your nose, apparently. So some knee-jerk media outlets have started hailing this as the new trend.
Come on, make it a new trend.
No one's hailing it as a new trend.
I am, please.
Oh, no.
Please, let's make this happen.
Come on.
Let's start with mugs and let's make this happen.
Okay, well, I'm in.
If you saw someone walking around with hair extensions, what would you think?
I would love it. I would find it really funny.
Yeah.
I would. Allie, no?
No, it's insane. It's essentially taking...
insane.
All you are taking are two curves of eyelashes.
Right.
And putting them on either side of your nostril.
Right.
That's it. Stop.
It's beautiful.
It is.
God. And it needs to become a thing.
No.
What about...
you people that listen to this show, you make it a thing. Come on now. Come on, everybody. Let's get with it.
Nope.
Speaking of beauty trends, I don't think this is new, Allie, but it is apparently still popular. Are fake freckles? A lot of people into fake, and including fake freckles of multiple colors too. By the way, not just natural looking freckles to make it look like you're Lindsay Lohan, but the kinds that they stand out. They pop with lots of different colors. That's a thing.
And you've got like paste on freckles as well as tattooing freckles.
Sure.
So it's gone kind of a whole route.
I mean, ever since Barb on Stranger Things, I think freckles are hot again, you know?
Yeah, definitely Barb.
How about...
Really? Barb? You think everyone wants to look like Barb?
I'm just saying
that... was the point of Barb, that she was the loser that died. Why do you have to kill the loser? We're all losers. That
first of all, spoiler alert. But second of all, I think that's why people rooted for her
example,
and loved
Bean.
Her.
It's a great
Thank
example.
What about the nail art with hair? What about that? We haven't talked about that yet.
I love that. Alex, explain that.
It's called selfie hair art. And essentially, somebody paints on what looks like your face, somebody's face, onto your nails. But then around the cuticle, you attach actual hair. So it looks like a face with hair. And the hair actually comes down quite a ways.
It extends like an inch below your fingernail.
Inch below your fingernails.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
I mean, when you saw that, what was your immediate reaction?
I love it.
You didn't, you didn't think, good Lord, I hope that girl never has to poop?
No,
okay.
That never
All
occurred
right.
to me. I didn't go into her personal life and wonder how it was going to work.
How is that going to work, though? You've got hair coming down an inch from your fingernails.
I mean, I feel like you have to take it off and then go and then put it back on again.
I feel like that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's the only way to do it.
Sound sanitary? No.
No.
That's awesome.
It's awful.
Both, but for the same reasons. Let's get this going, people, okay. Right?
All right.
Wouldn't that be awesome if everybody was walking? No?
Kevin.
If everybody was walking around with nose hair extensions. Come on.
I think we should do this to Kevin.
I'll do it.
All of it. And just see how long you can last like that.
All right.
Okay.
I'll last until I have to poop. And then that's it. I mean, nose hair extensions, right?
No.
I think I'm still a pass on that as well.
Are you? Okay.
You go ahead and I will support you.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you, B. It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Wheelo Bad Animal Voices coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
We remind folks that Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are once again bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Los Angeles.
No.
Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for that show.
No.
We have a pretty good time. I think you will, too. Speaking of tickets, I got tickets for the K-Rock advanced screening of The Snowman.
Yeah!
At Pacific's The Grove Theater on October 18th. The movie looks terrific. Great cast. Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson, James Darcy, Charlotte Gainsborough. All about Detective Harry Hull. That's right, you heard me. How do you think he feels walking around with a name like that? No wonder he's so tough. He's investigating the disappearance of a woman whose pink scarf is found wrapped around the head of an ominous-looking snowman. And it gets worse from there. The heads start getting switched around, and people have snow heads, and snowmen have people heads, and cats and dogs lying down together. It's madness! If you'd like to see this movie, I can't wait for this film, by the way. October 18th, we're having a special screening at the Pacific Grove Theater. Why don't you give us a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number. We'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of The Snowman.
Why the snowman couldn't melt in the sun?
Why couldn't melt in the sun?
Because he had a hotter.
He had a hotter? He had it hotter?
Tried to figure this out yesterday, and we made no progress.
He had a hotter
doesn't make sense.
It's not a word. It's not a thing.
He had a heater?
Doesn't make sense.
Because then he's harder.
Melt faster. Doesn't make sense.
Oh, maybe.
Hard on? Yeah?
Really?
But even that doesn't make sense either, though. That really doesn't make sense either.
Because...
All right, we're gonna get to the bottom of it.
Do we have to?
We're not going to tell you how.
Do we have to go to the bottom of it?
I mean, we do, yeah. It's important.
Can we just stay on the top of it?
Not really.
Go any further?
We have to. We sort of have
stay
to.
On the surface?
And we don't really have that choice.
Harvey Weinstein should be in prison.
Yes, he should.
More and more accounts are coming forward from women who have been sexually assaulted, even raped by this pig. His wife yesterday, Georgina Chapman, who is the designer and creator of the Marquesa fashion line, she is divorcing him. Which, they were always a weird pairing. I can only assume that she was just on board to bankroll her fashion line, right? I mean, you can see what he saw in her. She's a beautiful young woman, but
what do you see in him?
He's Jabba the freaking Hutt.
He really is.
He's gross.
Everyone's coming out. Even the president, former president Barack Obama, weighed in on the issue yesterday, saying, "Michelle and I have been disgusted by the recent reports about Harvey Weinstein. Any man who demeans and degrades women in such fashion needs to be condemned and held accountable, regardless of wealth or status."
Agreed.
However, Lindsay Lohan is coming forward, and she's supporting Harvey.
Well, that should turn this whole story around.
That's right. Harvey's lawyers have said, don't be on our side. No, I'm just kidding. She released a video on Instagram from her bathroom in Dubai where she expresses support for Harvey Weinstein in a very curious accent.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Hi, I'm in Dubai. I'm home. I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me. We've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong. So stand up.
And stop. It's wrong. And there's a lot of people in prison who have never murdered me personally.
Right.
But they've murdered other people.
And so that's
why
But
I think those people should be let free because they never killed me.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
So I think we should all stop picking on those people who are in jail for murder. A lot of people are in jail for robbery. They didn't rob me.
Right.
So let them out. They should stop. Stand up and stop.
Stand up.
Rock solid logic.
Thank you so much. Come from the school of Lindsay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lenny James Morgan from The Walking Dead is 52 years old today. Luke Perry turns 51. Harry Connick Jr. turns 50 today. Jane Krakowski's 49. Emily Deschanel of the Deschanel sisters. The acting Deschanels.
She was Bones, right?
Yeah. Bones. Yeah, Bones, right? 41 years old today. Rhett MacLachlan from YouTube is 40 years old. Matt Bomer, also 40. Michelle Trachtenberg, 32 years old today. Remember when she was just tiny little Michelle from
I sure do.
Buffy? Now she's all grown up. And Cardi B. Oh, Cardi B. 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, before Nirvana, we played 311, and we got this text from Matt. And I don't want to embarrass Matt or call him out because he's a good guy. He's listening. We appreciate it. But he writes in from the 562. Hey, did you know that The Cure have a pretty good version of Love Song also?
I don't think you're embarrassing Matt. I think Matt is totally right.
I'm embarrassing Matt because if The Cure had recorded that 311 song, we would certainly know about it here at K Rock. All right. I mean, we're doing the show, okay?
Right. We're so, up on covers.
Right. So right. Look.
You know how it works.
If The Cure is, if they want to cover 311, if they want to try to get on some of their legacy, that's fine. They can try that. But that didn't happen, Matt. You got it wrong, or we'd have heard about it, okay?
Seriously, though, why are we playing the 311 version?
Shut up, Allie.
Play along. It's Wednesday morning, and you know what that means.
No.
Time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Okay.
Where are the kids, Ralph? Abeen, where are the kids?
They're right here.
Yay!
There you go. Come on now. Here are the stories that are on the wheel today. The pigeon trying to bang a woman.
Well, that seems physically impossible.
What? Huh?
I can't.
That's a real story?
But a pigeon can have dreams, though, even if they can't fulfill them, right?
Mm. The donkey that mistook a McLaren for a carrot.
Is it just Mad Libs now?
No, these
just
are
throwing words.
These
up
are all
against
real
the
stories.
Fridge door and see what sticks.
The McLaren was orange and it bit off its bumper. I think I don't know. The Acrocats.
I'll give you $5 if it bit off its bumper.
The Acrocats, the traveling cat circus.
Oh my lord! Dear. As if we couldn't two the worst things combined. Cats and circuses.
Mochi, the dog with the longest tongue in the world.
Oh, I love Mochi.
I bet you do.
Mochi lives in North Dakota or something, right?
Peanut butter out.
Hope it lands on both.
Right?
This dog's tongue is like 8 inches long. It's crazy.
Why are you so excited about that?
Because peanut butter.
Because he's a super cute dog.
And
super long
peanut
tongue.
Peanut butter.
Mad raccoon hitching a ride on a Colorado police cruiser.
I had a stand up with two raccoons this morning on my way to the car.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
It was like I was got mugged by two raccoons.
How did you?
They're like the size of bears, by the way, raccoons. No one tells you that.
Yeah, and they don't care that you're there. They're not scared
of
human beings at all.
They got hands, opposable thumbs, and masks on.
Yeah.
Well, haven't we wiped this species out?
Yeah.
How did you shoo them away, by the way, Ralph?
I didn't. They stared at me and just stared me down. So I had to get in my car on the passenger side and crawl across and get behind the wheel. I wasn't going to F with them.
I would have talked to your raccoons.
And finally, the boatman, the bug with the singing penis.
I'm sorry, what?
The boatman?
What it says.
The boatman, the man with the singing penis.
No, it's even worse than that. It's worse than you thought. The boatman, the bug with the singing penis.
I don't even understand.
None of that makes sense.
Correct.
This is all fake news.
Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
That wheel.
Only Bean wants the dog tongue.
I do what I definitely come on, Mochi.
Right? Right. Oh, it's the Acrocats, the traveling cat circus.
Yay!
All right. I don't mind the Acrocats. I have not seen this show, but apparently they tour all over, and it is exactly what you think it is. It is acrobatic cats that are in a stage show, and Samantha Martin, the lady who's behind the Acrocats, is... Look, Kevin, you're just going to look at her and think she's a crazy cat lady. But she is doing two amazing things.
Okay.
One is all over the country where the Acrocats tour, she is working with local shelters to help
get them adopted. Get to kittens and cats that are scheduled to be euthanized and get them adopted. Mm-hmm. She has saved over 200 cats. So God bless Samantha for that, for doing that.
Except for the talented ones, which she puts into the circus.
She does put them into the show. Yes, yeah, she has 17 cats that are among the amazing
Come on.
Cat. So
you can't look at this only as a positive story, Bean.
It is only a positive.
It isn't.
Because even if the cat doesn't make the show, the cat still gets adopted out.
Right, because it's in the circus.
What just happened, Kevin? You know we're on the air, right?
Because it's in the circus, is what I meant to say.
17 cats, 16 performers.
Kevin hates the circus.
He did. He did say the F word. 16 cats in the circus, and then the 17th is Captain Patch, who is a one-eyed non-performing feline who belongs to an assistant, is just a pet. But they travel the country, they put on a show. And the other awesome thing that she's doing is she is showing that cats can indeed be trained. For people who are always frustrated because cats are not like dogs because they can't teach them to do any stuff, she's proving that that is not true at all. She says cats are not that difficult to train. You just have to know how to work with them.
Hmm.
So let's dial up, and I'm sure Dave has lined up Samantha Martin, who runs the Acro Cats out on the road all over this great land of ours, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Samantha, how are you?
I'm sorry, Samantha is not here. Can I take a message?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Kevin and Bean, K-Rock Radio. Who's this?
I am Alfonso. I am one of the Acro Cats.
So, Alfonso, I don't know much about the show, but I understand that some of the cats ride skateboards on stage.
We do. We ride the skateboards. We make a human pyramid out of cats.
Okay.
It's not a human pyramid. It's a cat pyramid.
It's a cat pyramid, right?
All right,
but
felines,
it's very aggressive, and we are the Acro Cats.
Okay. And you play musical instruments in the show as well?
We play musical instruments. We do everything. We are able to blow glass on stage.
Is that right?
Wow.
We're able to do complex mathematical equations. We can bake a quiche. We can do anything. We are the Acro Cats.
A lot of people think that cats are difficult to train, that they're too stubborn and they don't care at all about pleasing human beings. Why do you suppose your show is so different from the experience most people have owning a cat?
Because our owner is crazy.
Oh, no.
He threatens us with torture if we don't behave.
Oh, no.
Are you okay?
I am trapped in the circus and I cannot get out.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, the effing circus. Right?
Right.
Right. We hate the circus so much.
Right.
We even break the FCC rules.
Yes. You are a smart cat, Alfonso.
The effing circus. We hate it so much because we are the Acro Cats.
Sounds like you're being really good at acting like you're having a good time, though.
We have to.
Yeah.
We have to, or else she puts chewing gum in our fur.
Oh, no.
Sorry, it's the worst thing I could think of off the top of my head.
We're going to talk to our friend Matt Bellany, by the way, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, about the biggest story in town, Harvey Weinstein. And find out what the latest is on that coming up here on K-Rock, plus Depeche Mode tickets at the Hollywood Bowl.
I hope this whole thing isn't a repeat of Bill Cosby and the Statute of Limitations. I hope
and nobody can do anything
I don't
about
even
it.
Understand the Statute of Limitations.
Yeah, no one should have, no state should have it.
Right.
At all.
Because when
period.
That happens to a woman, she never, ever, ever gets over it.
Yeah.
It does diminish in its power over her, but it's with her till she dies.
That trauma is there.
So that's an absurd thing.
Yeah. Look, we're getting off on a topic here. I think why the statute of limitation exists, though, is maybe a different conversation. I mean, there is a reason for it, but we'll talk about that another time. All right. First, though, Ralph was
you think this is a different topic than the one we were just about to talk about?
I do. But equally important.
Right. That's
but
my
equally
point.
Important. A few minutes ago in the show BizBeat, Ralph was giving away tickets to a K-Rock Advance screening of The Snowman, which just looks like an amazing movie based on the best-selling book, which I saw because I was traveling this week because of Breakfast with Foo Fighters. I saw three or four different people in my travels reading The Snowman book. Huge best-selling book turned into a movie.
Hey, how do you like the book?
Michael Fassbender. Anyway, so when he brought up The Snowman, I went to this piece of tape from years ago from a Kevin and Bean show live appearance.
Why the snowman
couldn't melt in the sun because he had a harder.
All right. So the booing, of course, that's the Kevin B. Listers treating Sam, the Armenian comedian, the way he is always treated whenever he tries to tell a joke. But we spent yesterday off the air so much time and today also trying to figure out what on earth the punchline can be.
Because he had a hotter.
Because he had
a hotter.
We're thinking hotter or harder, but no, he didn't say heater.
And even if he was trying to say heater, we just thought, well, that doesn't make any sense because that's going to make the snowman melt faster. That's
none of them make any sense.
None of them make sense. Again, the punchline one more time.
Because he had a hotter.
Well, fortunately,
I love the booze though. That's pretty strong, right immediately.
Fortunately, the Armenian comedian is still alive and well, and we don't have to speculate because we can just get him on the phone and find out all these years later what the punchline to the snowman joke is because we can't figure it out. Hey Sam, welcome back, my friend.
Good morning.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No.
Please get off the speakerphone, Sam. We can barely hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nope.
And magic in the first 5 seconds, please.
We can barely hear you. Can you get off the speakerphone?
It's off.
And it's not. You're still on the speakerphone.
Sam, pick up the phone and talk into it like a person.
No, it's off, dude.
Okay.
Can you turn down your radio?
I don't know how to. Turn down your radio for the 1,000,000th time.
And get off the speakerphone.
Come on, Sam. Hello?
How's that?
Much better. Now it's excellent.
Your idea.
All right, now.
Your idea.
Yeah, it's my idea. All right.
Can you help us out with what the punchline is to your snowman joke? Do you remember the joke, Sam?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, surprising.
Okay, all right. I thought there way too much pot had been smoked between then and now for you to recall the joke. All right, let me play it one more time, and then you tell us what the punchline is that we can't get.
Why the snowman couldn't melt in the sun? Because he had a harder.
All right, because he had a harder. What are you trying to tell us there, Sam?
He had a hard-on.
Okay, so that's... So you're making a boner joke?
Yeah.
And that keeps the snowman from melting in the sun?
Yeah, he had a hard on.
Right, we heard you, right.
How would that work, though? I mean, how does that prevent him from getting hot based on being in the sun? He's made of frozen water.
Yeah, when you are...
Yeah, just, Sam, listen, be careful what you say because we can't really describe things. So, okay, go.
When you're aroused.
I'm a human being hit by lightning in New York City, and I survived. That's why I'm the Armenian comedian. So if I survive with the lightning, so does the snowman survive not being melted by being a hard-on. Don't you get it? I'm just making a joke. Duh.
I mean, you just said duh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, and I'm gonna say I still don't get it
because you are not smart enough as I am.
No, that's okay. Very true.
Okay. All right,
it's very true.
He's
Sam.
On a whole different level.
I do yeah. my yeah. best, but I just can't keep up with you.
Look, Sam's a professional comedian.
Right.
Kevin. We're barely.
What? That's
you
why
know
we're.
Why I am like this because I was being sharpened like a prince in my youth. By the church, by the school, by the parents and my relatives and all the community. Everybody loved me.
I see.
They raised me up in the air like a hero.
I see.
They raised... I was a hero in my youth. Mm-hmm.
You were a hero in your youth? I don't think any of us knew that. That's exciting, Sam.
I'm a healer. I'm a barber. I'm a hairstylist. I'm a comedian. I'm a rock and roll bander.
A rock and roll
you guys don't
bander.
Give a damn about me to do a show in Las Vegas. I want to do a concert in Las Vegas. And nobody's going to do raise hell, and nobody's going to do shoot each other. And if I was one of those families, I
okay.
would
Sam, take it easy. So you're saying if you were to go to Las Vegas and do your show, the city would become overcome with love, and nothing bad would happen, right?
Nothing bad will happen when I'm around.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you.
Everybody must call me to get a haircut for the all the disaster that happened. This is my phone number, 81516-2820.
That's not very smart.
The team is really supportive. I'm getting a lot of phone calls for the fans. They miss me a lot.
Right.
And you guys don't give a damn about me. I'm hired. I need a concert.
We called you, Sam. How come we don't care about you? We're the ones who just called you and put you on the radio.
I know, but I need money.
Okay.
I need money.
This is why
money
I love
you guys.
This is why I love Sam because he's had it with us.
Yep.
That's the best thing that has ever happened. Sam, I love you. I want to marry you.
You don't know what my wife is going to hell with me with all this nonsense that I do.
I don't know what that means.
All right. Okay. Listen, we're out of time.
It's been
this
a great
time.
Chat.
But no, we'll call you again another time, though, Sam.
We won't.
Kevin and Bean, you are my heroes.
We're your what? Heroes?
You are my heroes.
We don't give a damn about you, and you were right at that point.
Okay.
Okay.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
We love you too. Bye, Sam. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Bye bye.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
How can you not like that, Allie? He's mad at us. He's mad at us. Sam is mad at us.
That makes two of us.
Wow.
All right. Time to change gears and talk about the second Hurricane Harvey of 2017. This, the case of Harvey Weinstein. Our friend Matt Bellamy is on the line. He, of course, as you know, is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. And, Matt, we want to start by apologizing for having Sam, the Armenian comedian, open up for your appearance here this morning.
Well, at least now there's no pressure. I know nobody's listening.
Amen. Amen, Matt.
Look, I know I'm in the minority, but I love Sam so much. I would have him on every day.
So,
that was quite something.
It was, yes. I don't even know where to start. This case is so big, and it's snowballing every single day. It gets worse and worse and worse and raises more and more questions. What's the overview? Well, let me just start with this. I mean, you're running the Hollywood Reporter over there. How was this story an open secret for so many years and not being published until now?
That's a great question, because I think it was widely known, but the extent of it was not widely known. We tried to do this story 2 years ago, and the problem has always been, and we're not alone, other outlets have too, but the problem has always been getting people to go on the record and say this about Harvey Weinstein, who's a very powerful guy, or was. So,
and unless they go on the record, you can't go with the story?
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing when you're accusing someone of this kind of behavior. You want people to go on the record and say it. And that was the big revelation in this New York Times story last week, was that several people, including actress Ashley Judd, went on the record to describe this awful behavior. And then the floodgates opened, and now everyone from Angelina Jolie to Gwyneth Paltrow to Patricia Arquette to tons of actresses have now come forward.
Okay, so if you can, fill us and our listeners in on what went wrong with the NBC story that Ronan Farrow filed that apparently had women on the record. Why did that story not come out at that time?
Well, NBC has not really given an adequate answer to that, but I don't want to put words in their mouth as to what they may say as an excuse, but the fact is Ronan Farrow has been working on this for months and months and months. I knew that he was, making calls on this a few months ago, and they had it, and at some point they said, you know what, take this to a print outlet. It's fine if you go to The New Yorker, because we're not going to run it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And why do you – I mean, look, like you said, you don't want to speculate, but I mean if the reporting is good and it's on the record and it's true, I don't understand why NBC News wouldn't have wanted to do this story. I mean, that's their job.
This is the same network, Bean, that sat on the Trump tape since 2005. They had that tape. They also had the tape
Ronan Farrow presented them with the tape of the woman and the NYPD that set him up in the sting. They had the tape. They had the audio.
To me, right. To me, that's enough. I mean, if we had that, we would have gone almost immediately.
Exactly.
And, you know, if Ronan Farrow had come to me and said, I have X amount of women on the record talking about Harvey Weinstein, boom, done.
Okay.
But, you know, you never know. I mean, the conspiracy theory is that someone high up at NBC, which also owns the Universal Movie Studio, didn't want this story out about Harvey Weinstein. I don't know if that's true, and I can't imagine someone who heads a news division saying, we don't want the greatest story in years because of a corporate parent, but maybe that happened.
Maybe so. This is the voice of our friend Matt Bellany here on the Kevin DeBean Show, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We're talking about the allegations against Harvey Weinstein. So is this, does this blow sexual harassment and abuse and even rape wide open in Hollywood now? Will other people, do you think, Matt, now come forward with their stories and be willing to go on the record and name names? Is this a sea change in the way business is done in this town?
I think it is. I think you're going to see more people coming forward because this is not the only thing that's happened. I mean, if you look at the past 2 or 3 years, we've had Bill Cosby, we've had Fox News, we've had a lot of stuff coming forward in Silicon Valley about harassment, and now we have a gigantic Hollywood figure taken down by allegations of sexual harassment, and I think this is the only the beginning. People are going to feel emboldened to come forward and report this kind of behavior.
Why did some of the more A-list stars that have come out and sort of told the same story, why did they not come out sooner? It seems like they didn't need him anymore for their careers. Is it possible to be in that situation?
People have speculated that this is coming out about Harvey now because he's kind of on the wane. He doesn't have an Oscar movie this year. That could be true. I don't know. But, you know, when you look at people that like Meryl Streep and Cate Blanchett and Charlize Theron who have come forward and said, I didn't see any of this behavior, I believe them. I think that if you are an A-list star, you're kind of kept in a bubble and you're not really told about some of the more unsavory things associated with people.
Right.
And I think that's probably true, that they were shielded from this.
Matt, I wanted to ask you about the Terry Crews revelations that he tweeted yesterday. He told a story of him being sexually assaulted, having his junk grabbed by a Hollywood executive. And it's very brave that he came out and did that. But even he didn't name that person. And I'm confused as to why that would be. I thought that's the whole point of making these people finally be held accountable for their bad behavior.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy story. I saw that. But you know, you have to ask him why he didn't name them. I think it's maybe he didn't want to become involved in this story, even though now he is. But I don't know why he didn't. That's just a bizarre story. It's crazy.
Is this a negative for any actor or actress in their career to be a part of a story like this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that the fear over the years has been if you speak out on this issue, it's going to negatively impact your career, and people like Harvey Weinstein and his peers will no longer hire you.
Right.
And I think that fear is legitimate. And you know, if you read these reports in the New York Times and New Yorker, that was a serious fear from a lot of these actresses. But I really believe the culture is changing and that, you know, you can come forward and make these claims and the industry is going to support you. I may be naive about that, but I do think that that the culture is changing. And that people are going to be emboldened to come forward and make these claims.
Well, I hope you're right about that.
I do, too. Let me ask you one more question before we run out of time, Matt, and that is, do people who know Harvey Weinstein or worked for Harvey Weinstein, even if they're not at all involved in this story, do they have a responsibility to make a statement? Because I feel like there are a lot of people who are being called out on social media right now. If they haven't said anything, I feel like now it almost is, it's a ding on you if you don't make a public statement. You're required to at this point, it seems like, in some people's eyes.
I think the people who have collaborated with him for years and worked so closely with him, people do want to know what they knew, you know, because people like Judi Dench or Ben Affleck or Kevin Smith, the filmmaker. I mean, Kevin Smith's statement was very strong. He was shocked, and when he found out about this, he didn't work with him ever again. So I think that people do have a responsibility if they have worked closely with him to say what they knew.
Well, this story is nowhere near being finished. And I think what we've been talking about here today, Matt, is we're wondering if we're close to some sort of an arrest here. I mean, if some of these things happen within the statute of limitations, it seems like he should be arrested and tried, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the argument. I think that's what the DA's office in Manhattan has been questioned about, is why, you know, there was an incident in 2015 in which, you know, this sting operation happened, and they ultimately decided not to press charges against him, and a lot of people are criticizing that decision. So I think that there's going to be a lot of revisiting of these claims, and if there is a way through the statute of limitations to go after him, I would not be surprised if the authorities did.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on your reporting. I know you guys are on top of this story. The Hollywood Reporter, THR.com. Matt, thanks for jumping on the Kevin Bean Show this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Don't say a word.
Right?
Don't say a word.
I don't like it.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. And Ralph, you haven't been talking about what everybody in Hollywood is talking about, which is that Frank Sinatra rose from the grave last night. It was kind of big news.
His ghost did make an appearance on television. A lot of people were talking about it.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was. He had a lot to say about what's going on in the world today in 2017.
Louis Armstrong, too. The dead are rising in Hollywood, and who can blame them, quite frankly? B may be talking about Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. When our old pal Jimmy was kind enough to invite me to come play in his sandbox, and I got a chance to appear, more or less, as Frank Sinatra, and we had a good time with a song called F You to the Moon.
Right. Oh, like fly.
It's kind of like fly, but okay. Not. Different verb.
Huh.
Not the same word.
F you to the moon.
Did you ever think you'd be invited to go on a national television broadcast and just swear up a storm? They must have bleeped you like 10 times in that
People
song.
People are... If you haven't seen the video, I put it up on my Twitter feed. If you go to @RalphGarman on Twitter, I posted it there, and it's on YouTube. But people are asking for an uncensored version because they can barely make out the words because there's so much bleeping going on. And,
well, you're the right man for the job.
Yes, indeed. So it was a blast. I had a good time. Thanks, Jim, again for inviting me to come play.
Well, really, congratulations.
It was no Armenian comedian, don't get me wrong.
I'm ready to call him again right now if you want.
I believe it. Hollywood Babylon's coming back to Los Angeles. Me and Kevin Smith are taking the stage this Friday night.
No.
At the Improv on Melrose.
No.
And I think you'll enjoy yourself if you come out. 10 p.m. The Late Show on Friday night. Me and Kevin talking about all things showbiz. I'm sure we will touch on the Harvey Weinstein story because Kevin worked with that dude for many years, and we've never talked about it. I don't know anything about what he knew about Harvey. I didn't know anything about Harvey until this all came out. It may have been an open secret in Hollywood, but it wasn't something that was on my radar. I'd heard about other rumors about other people, but not ever Weinstein. So I'll be interested to hear Kevin's take on it because...
And it must be a totally different experience if it's somebody that you are friends with.
Sure.
And this happens.
Started Kevin's career. Really, by buying Clerks back in the day in Sundance, and they worked on several films together, so it'll be interesting to get his take on it. Anyway, go to improv.com, get your tickets for Friday night show, click there on the Hollywood Improv. Justin Bieber is threatening us with a film career.
All right.
According to Us Weekly magazine, he went to dinner with a couple high-profile movie stars to pick their brains about his potential film career. He's trying to pick a direction for himself in movies.
I would be stunned if he could act.
You want to know the people he had dinner with?
Please. Yeah.
David Spade and Adam Sandler.
Okay, that fits. All
right.
He
that
can
fits,
do that.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, he can do that.
How terrifying would that trio be?
Yeah, it'd be pretty bad.
Oh, Bieber!
No way. No way.
Dakota Johnson of 50 Shades of Grey. Like she's got a new boyfriend, John Hamm. How about that? According to the New York Post, they've been seen hanging out quite a bit in New York City these days.
Oh, she's so lucky.
Oh.
Not wrong.
Right?
She's 28. He clocks in at 46. But he's John Hamm.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
She's still the lucky one
plus,
there.
Right?
Right?
Well, I don't know.
All the rumors are true.
Don't need the hand gestures.
Yeah. No. And if you were going to be at the White House, what would you steal as a souvenir? Kevin, this sounds like
I mean, anything I could get my hands on, probably.
Yeah, you'd be clanking as you walked out,
I would.
Right?
I'd have everything.
Kevin would bring a parka and just fill it up in July and just like walking out like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
It seems like the easiest thing would be to steal a pen or something
That's
small.
That's what I always thought.
Something small.
I remember the first time I went to the Playboy Mansion, I stole a notepad.
Same.
I used to have notepads there that near the phone where you could write messages, and it said Playboy Mansion on top and everything. Mm-hmm. And I lifted that, and I was like, I got home, and I was like, what did I do there? What did I steal from the Playboy Mansion
Just for? Because it was a, I don't know, I did too. I had the same notepad.
It was pretty cool. Lea Michele said she was invited to the to the White House when President Barack Obama was in office back in 2010. I guess the Glee cast was invited. And she told Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show that she stole a roll of toilet paper that featured the official presidential seal on it.
Hmm. I mean, that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, that's not bad. You could never use it.
You don't use it, right?
But why do you think, why would you lift toilet paper? And how do you sneak toilet paper
yeah,
out
that's
of
a
the
better
White
question.
House?
Where did she put it?
She said she put it down her pants.
What? Oh.
All right.
I would think that would show.
I would too.
Maybe it wasn't a full roll.
Maybe it was partially used.
Right.
Anyway.
By the way, that doesn't seem like a good use of my taxpayer dollars to be putting the presidential seal on toilet paper.
That's where you draw the line, huh? That's the kind of spending abuse that really gets your goat?
It all adds up, Ralph.
Doesn't it seem like that's the problem with the defense budget. It's all toilet paper.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So you're following the tweets this morning, but President Trump is thinking...
I'm not.
Is questioning whether the networks should have their FCC license removed.
Oh, is that right?
Because of all the fake news that they're putting out there. Because apparently NBC said something he doesn't like this morning.
Hmm.
So he wants to shut him down.
Wasn't he also FCC, an FCC topic earlier in the week? He was talking about how he demanded equal time from late night comedians because they were so biased?
Yes. And that's when Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, if you resign, you can have my show. You can do it every night. You can just put yourself out there and say whatever you want to say. And that Don Jr., Jimmy had a big Twitter feud with Don Jr. over the weekend. They've been sniping back and forth.
Jimmy's on fire. I love it.
He is. He's enemy number one. Which is only helping his ratings, by the way. His ratings are going through the roof, so good work, Mr. President. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lenny James of Morgan from The Walking Dead is 52 years old. Luke Perry is 51. Harry Connick Jr. Now, I've been told Harry Connick Jr.'s birthday is not today.
Oh.
By several people, so I'm going to put an asterisk next to that one, and we'll look into that. Harry could or could not be 50 years old today.
I've got September 11th.
See, and it's
Harry
October
Connick.
11th, so maybe there's a mistake.
Yeah, those aren't the same.
I think that's
They're
it.
They're not the same. You're it's right,
good.
Allie.
Thank it's a good you. Catch.
So glad you're here. Mm-hmm. Jane Krakowski's 49. Emily Deschanel is 41. Matt Bomer is 40 years old today. His name is off by a letter, right, ladies? Who's with me? Matt Boner.
Oh, Bomer.
See what I did? Michelle Trachtenberg's 32, and Cardi B. Where's Cardi B?
I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new whip. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the streets. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these hoes be mad at me. They baby father wanna build. That little bitch.
Yeah.
There's your number one song in America, kids.
She seems like a charming young lady.
Right.
She's 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bill, if you'll come with me, we'll float too.
Right?
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too.
Right?
You'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing, Kevin?
Right.
What are you doing? Come on.
Talking about scary movies, what are you doing?
Just getting into the spirit of the season.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Get a little spooked here.
Ghostly things are gonna happen. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. That the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks
all right,
outside my window pane.
All right, good. Okay, good. All right. This is not what we're doing here, though, Pete.
It is it's the Halloween season.
It's not what we're doing here, though.
And that does bring up scary movies. Although,
hey, B.
be. This is not what we're doing here.
Although it used to be that this was this was the only time of year that the scary movies would come out, but it's pretty much turned into a year-round industry because it turns out Americans love scary movies. We'd love to be scared. And we started having a conversation off the air, and that's how It came up, the clip that Kevin played, that about how there are some scenes that go beyond just, oh, wow, that was really scary. They are seared into your brain.
Like love that little kid saying you'll float too. Love that.
They rewire you, though, to the point where you have nightmares about it, to the point where it just occurs to you out of nowhere, and you just realize you have been shaken by a scene because it was so shocking or so terrifying or so scary or whatever it was. And that's the topic. That's what we're talking about here today at 1-800-520-1067 for your calls or texts.
So we're not talking about scary movies. We're talking about scary movie moments.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One of mine also is Poltergeist, which I loved. And I believe they're outside in the pool, and this starts happening.
Son of a bitch, you moved the cemetery, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You son of a bitch, you left the bodies, and you only moved the headstones! You only moved the headstones!
That was awesome.
Yeah. That's a great moment in that film, but it's not even the scariest moment in that movie.
Moment. It was for me. I loved it.
That's not scary,
though. It was for me. I loved it.
A guy yelling at another guy is the scariest thing in Poltergeist for you?
Yes, the idea that there's bodies underneath their house.
The tree
was awesome.
Comes alive. It comes That's through also the guy's good. Window.
I love the whole
or
movie.
Or the ghost, the clown doll that jumps
clown
off the
clown doll is
shelf.
Pretty fantastic as well.
That's just Why are coach yelling at a guy. That's not the what scariest about, moment in that movie.
Carol Ann got sucked into the TV.
She did.
Nope. Got coach yelling at a guy. That is the scariest thing. I don't want to make Coach angry.
All right. This might be a good time to say it's a subjective topic, though, right? It's whatever the scariest scene was to you. So can Kevin technically be wrong in this case?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay.
I mean,
Coach
no.
Yelling, not
because
scary.
That's the scene that sticks with me. That's the scene that I still remember from that movie vividly.
Would you like to know mine?
Sure.
The power of Christ compels you.
Oh, sure.
The power of Christ compels you. As a little kid that went to Catholic school her whole life, to see Reagan rise off that bed in The Exorcist and they're throwing the holy water. Damien, from that point on, when
Damien,
I went to church,
why you do this to me, Damien?
It was the worst. Whenever I went to church as a kid, you know, you're supposed to put your finger in the holy water, do the sign of the cross. I was like, hell no, I'm not touching that holy water.
You thought you were going to burn?
Yes, I did.
Because you're possessed
maybe.
A demon?
I just like
How
to say you
I
may
know?
Have. You may have.
You, well, yeah. Your head would be spinning around 360 degrees and you'd be vomiting green.
Maybe I was just at the early stages. No,
you had a slight case of possession?
Yeah,
a lot of lists that I see for scary movies put The Exorcist at the top, even though that movie is almost 50 years old. Do you guys think that it still is in the conversation for the scariest movie of all time?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
I do. You do.
Absolutely. It's terrifying. There's a moment in that film, by the way, that happens so briefly. It's Anne, what's the actress's name that plays the mom? I can't think of it right now. But Louise Fletcher, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, she's in the kitchen, and there's a flash of lightning, and behind her on the wall, just for a brief second, there is a Satan's face. Satan's face appears in the flash of lightning. And it's almost subliminal, but that scene is so terrifying and so disturbing.
Let's talk to Steve and Duarte real quick, line four, while we're talking Exorcist, Ralph, because, I mean, it's a movie that is just one unbelievable scene after another, right?
Hey, yeah. Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, what was this?
The scary part of the Exorcist where she's crawling down the stairs backwards.
The crab crawl.
Oh, yes. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's it's a nightmare.
In my brain forever.
It's nightmare stuff. Nightmare stuff.
Yeah, you cannot see it. I mean, that's a perfect way to describe
it. It's not Craig T. Nelson yelling, but it's scary. How about the elevator doors in The Shining when the blood comes pouring out of the elevator as the doors open?
I mean, I don't love it.
It's pretty good, too.
I don't love it.
Beginning to end of The Shining.
It was terrifying to me. I remember the first time I saw that. You're like, why are they showing that elevator? Oh, no! The kid's shaking. Red rum.
Oh, that whole movie.
That's the best.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1060. If you can't call, do text. The scariest movie scene. The part of the movie you'll never forget. Let's take Sam, Huntington Beach, line one here on K-Rock.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show. Love you guys.
Thank you. Tell us about your moment that scared you the most.
There was this movie called The Orphanage. It's a foreign film. It was done in Spain. There was a maid. Her name was Benigna. And the couple in the movie were trying to cut her down because she knew where her kid went. as they're chasing her, she gets hit by a car in traffic. And they run to go see her and thinking she's dead. And all of a sudden, she bursts up with her jaw hanging from her face, and it just caused everyone to jump. Just freaked me out.
All right, I need to see that now.
Right?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I need to see The Orphanage.
But broken jaw face sounds great.
Right?
Just the thing. You watch it with people just to see their reaction, knowing that it's coming, because it freaks everybody out, catches everybody off guard.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Sam. Appreciate it so much. Let's take Joseph La Habra, please, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Joseph.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
We are through? Yeah, okay. Hi. The meat hook scene from Texas Chainsaw, you know, I'm 10 years old watching it.
10. That's just child abuse.
That's some great parenting right there.
Yeah. And you know, I'm doing okay throughout that, and then that comes up, and I don't know, it's so real, and I had to stop it. I had to take a moment, you know, get a drink of water, and then just
jump back in.
It's just That one scene has always just stuck with me.
I mean, if you start thinking about what that would feel like to have a meat hook in your back, it's hard to get that image out of your... It's not as scary as a guy yelling at a guy, but I mean, it's still... I mean, it's scary. You're right. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that, Joseph. All right. Quick break. 1-800-520-1067. The scariest movie scene. It still gives you nightmares. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of the Raconteurs, let's take a call.
All right, let's make it to Dustin, Newport Beach. We're talking about the scariest movie scenes of all time. You saw it, and you can't get it out of your head. Even now, it terrifies you thinking about it. Dustin, you're up next, sir. What's up?
Yeah, so I got to edit for the movie Hostel, and the scene that I kept editing was when the fingernails get getting cut off.
What?
When the fingers were getting cut off.
Oh, fingers were getting cut off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's no bueno.
Uh-uh.
What about when they were playing soccer with that guy's head?
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good chat.
This is an inconvenient time for Dustin. The whole thing about Hostel is that whole movie just looked like torture porn to me.
Yeah,
it was one awful thing after another. Here's from the 949. American Werewolf in London. Whenever he changes into the wolf, the cracking sounds and ripping damn freaked me out for weeks. Remember that? Remember the transformation?
Oh, sure.
That sound? A lot of people also mentioning the kid that comes out of the TV in The Ring as something they can't forget either. All right, your call's coming up next after the Raconteurs on K-Rock.
The power of Christ compels you. That the power of Christ compels you.
Come on.
That's just for you, Allie.
I don't like it at all. Not one bit.
Talking about the scariest scenes in motion picture history. Tis the season to be thinking about horror movies, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
What about the elephant scene in Brothers Grimsby?
Amazing.
Right. It's funny, scary. Funny you should bring that up, Kevin, because more than one person, including Tom, texts in, hands down, the scariest scene in cinema, Large Marge in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's funny.
If you're young enough, that could be terrifying.
Sure.
Tom, Large Marge sent you.
From the 626, the scene in Halloween where Michael just appears behind Laurie scared the living crap out of me. I wouldn't walk by an open door for years, listener says. All right, let's take some more calls. Let's go to John Costa Mesa up first this time on K-Rock.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys, what's up?
We're talking scary movie moments.
Excellent. So I was probably about 3 or 4 years old. My dad's watching television, and all I see is a bunch of people in a space station having dinner. And all of a sudden, this alien bursts out of this guy's chest. I saw the alien chest burster scene at 4 years old.
Oh, no.
Wow. Almost all of these are from kids who should never have been watching these movies.
There's a lot of bad parenting going on in this country. All right, thank you for the call, John. Appreciate
it. Also, though, teachable moment. Your dad then turns to you and says, that's what happens when you don't eat your veggies.
Right.
Kid has changed.
Right.
Right?
Give me some Jenny, please, line 2. Jenny is in an imaginary location named Ladera Ranch.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
I think you just stole my scene.
Oh, no.
Texter. Yeah, it's Halloween. It is. We're watching the end of the movie, and you know, we think he's dead, and he's in the bedroom, and Jamie Lee Curtis is finally starting to calm down, though she's still overly hysterical. And all of a sudden, his head just appears slowly as he rises up. And oh my God!
Yes,
yes. I'm with that texter. I to this day close my bedroom door when I'm watching a horror movie.
How old were you when you saw that, Jenny?
I think I had to have been about 10.
Yes.
Which is why my son is now 10, and I'm like, do I let him start watching horror movies?
But yes,
I'm
you
like,
do.
Hell no.
You know, and I also think, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, Jenny, is it was such a shock because back then when people died in movies, they were dead. That was like the first one I remember where somebody kind of came back to life or you thought they were dead and they weren't. And now it's like every other movie is like that.
Right. It's not as shocking now.
No. Yep. Exactly. All right. Great call. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's go to line one, Costa Mesa. Let's say hi to Robert. Hey, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys? Good, long thanks. Time listener.
Thank you. Scariest movie moment.
The Blob, where the Blob comes out the shower drain and dissolves the guy in the shower and goes down into the drain.
All right. So let me ask you this. Now, you saw that. How old were you, first of all, when that moment impacted you?
I think I was like 8 years old.
Okay. Almost all of our calls are under 10.
Yes.
Now, does that
screen... Yes, I have neglected parents.
Yes. When you see something like that happens in a real-world situation, like in a shower, something that you're going to encounter, does that affect you for the rest of your life? Is that now something you think about every time you step into the shower?
Not every time, but around this time of year.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Where do you want to go, Kevin? We're almost out of time.
Let's go to Chris, who's calling us from Corona. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. What's the movie?
The movie is The Thing, when the guy's head gets chopped off and it turns into a spider, dude. It scared the living crap out of me.
Turns into a spider, dude.
It turns into a spider, dude.
Dude, I still think about it till today.
Well, I'm never going to stop thinking about it now. Thanks.
Elaine O.C.'s Alternative Rock. It is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Every day this week on K-Rock throughout the day, and especially this morning, every morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m., we're giving away tickets to Depeche Mode.
Hmm? And that means, mornings.
I'm not sure what that meant, but I'm just saying.
Depeche Mode tickets.
Every morning this week, we're giving away Depeche Mode tickets at 9 o'clock. That's what I'm saying. And that includes right now. We are looking for Depeche Mode fans who would like to take some of these tickets off of our hands for one of their upcoming Hollywood Bowl shows right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, it's not as simple as just calling and we hand them out. Mm. You're going to have to play a game. Mm. So if you know Depeche Mode and their music, now's the time to call to win those tickets. Allie, how are you doing on getting into the show?
You know, it's a waiting game. Mm-hmm. Waiting for some serious cash to be able to afford tickets on a ulterior site.
I mean, is that how you get serious cash? You just have to wait for it?
You wait, yeah. You put it out to the universe and you kind of just wait.
Oh, you should. GoFundMe.
Can you imagine?
GoFundMe
for tickets. Allie really wants to see Defender.
You would get it. I'm telling you right now, you would get it.
That's horrible.
You'd get it.
You would get it.
You would.
That's how the world works now. Bean loves it when people
ask
for money for like school books.
He does it for vacations, for honeymoons. No, I don't like it at all. But we are giving them away for free for Depeche Mode fans right now, 1-800-520-106. And we'll play a game coming up after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock.
I thought it was a very entertaining segment Allie did with the missed connection thing.
Same.
From Craigslist. And thank I you. Just had a it just dawned on me, as Bean was saying, that we should go through and find the most BS GoFundMes.
Oh, interesting.
We should find people who are raising money for the least valid causes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a Bean thing, because, man, does that make him mad.
Yeah, he really does not enjoy that. And it's like, he doesn't like the legit ones.
Right.
It's like,
unless they're taking pictures of corn, he's out.
I want to go to law school so I can make the world a better place. Get a job! Get take out a loan to go to law school. I'm not paying for it.
Would you ever ask strangers to pay for your education?
I would not, no.
I would not, no. But I don't begrudge those who do.
Yeah,
I
mean, should. No, because you don't have to donate.
Right, because I have an option not to give them
some. So just say, no, I'm not down with that.
But if they're looking to better their lives and looking to find a creative way to fund that choice, then that's okay with me.
What if it's the only way they can do it and the people who give do it willingly? How is that bad?
Maybe they should concentrate on having some shame instead. Maybe they should spend a little time doing that. Understand what they should be embarrassed by.
Wow.
Just saying.
You kids get off my lawn.
Hey, Friday night, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're coming to see me and Kevin Smith. We're bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Los Angeles.
No.
It's been weeks since we've played the improv. I missed that joint. Doing it Friday night, 10 p.m. Me, Kevin Smith, you, improv, boom. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood.
This is a world of nope, nuh-uh.
Come on.
And sorry, Charlie.
Don't.
Sorry, Charlie. Man, he's going serious.
Charlie. I haven't heard that.
I say no.
Oh, Jim.
Harvey Weinstein's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
I just saw some great news online before I walked in here.
I'm sorry, Ralph. You saw some what?
Great news online?
You saw some what?
Oh,
great news.
Thank you.
Online. That Harvey has been removed from the BAFTA organization.
That's
the British version of the Oscars. And it dawned on me, it's like, they absolutely should do that, right? The Academy should absolutely pull this guy's ticket and not let him participate in the business anymore.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that.
But you start to think about all the ramifications.
Yeah.
But especially since he did so much damage in the name of the movie industry. It wasn't like he was just preying on women in general. He seemed to be targeting people who worked in that profession. And I think if you're the representative body of that profession, in order to protect it, you have to get a scumbag like that out of the ranks
of
the Academy, right? More and more accounts of women. I don't know what the total is now, but it's getting up there. We know at least three or four women are accusing Harvey Weinstein of rape. 13, 14 or so sexually harassed and assault. Another four unwanted touching. So the numbers are really climbing as more and more women come forward and tell their stories about what this animal did to them. So it's devastating, but at the same time, it's got to be empowering for these women to finally be able to tell their story, and something that they've kept under wraps for whatever reason for so long, whether it be shame or fear, but now they're getting a chance to tell their story. So that's pretty cool. From one villain to another, a biologist in New Zealand has just discovered a new wasp.
Oh. A new wasp.
Oh, new wasp.
Do we need a new wasp?
Named Pretty.
I don't think we...
Well, he didn't invent it. He just discovered it. We already had a wasp.
It's already there.
We have enough wasps. Don't need to create new ones.
He didn't create a new one, Kevin.
What's happening
here?
That's
not how it works.
Doesn't need to go into the lab and create a
new wasp. Nope. That's not how scientists discover things. They're there, and then someone comes across it.
Agree to disagree.
Nope. Really? There's just only one way it works.
All right.
And he finds it, and then he gets to name it. And so this biologist in New Zealand has named his new wasp Lucius Malfoy.
That sounds
Harry Potterish.
Yes, Lucius Malfoy.
Hmm.
Lucius Malfoy, father
of
Draco.
I'm all about them bees.
No, not all about them bees. It's a wasp. It's very different. So he's naming it after one of Harry Potter's arch nemesis. Is right.
Excuse me,
sir. Can I get your thoughts about all the honeybees dying off, which is a result of all the pesticides that they put in all these pesticides?
Right? But this is a non-stinging wasp, and it's actually very good for the environment. And so that's why this guy said he named it after Lucius Malfoy, because you remember, he redeems himself by deflecting Voldemort's army in order to save his own family, and he's pardoned for his crimes.
Now, is that okay, Kevin, if we invented a new bee that is it's a positive, a net positive
for
the world?
Yes, as long as they don't sting. I've been stung by
stinging wasps.
I don't know, 26, 27 wasps at once, at one time.
26 of them at one time,
yes.
Multiple times?
It was not good.
Were you counting?
No, I had to go to the hospital.
Wait, stand still, I'm counting. 3, 4, 5.
To go to the hospital. It was not good.
Did you have to go to the hospital or anything?
I had to go to the hospital.
Oh.
Back to you.
Did you create these wasps?
I didn't.
Were you in a lab? Were you making them?
I was not, no.
That's where they come from.
Were you allergic to? Why'd you go to the hospital? Like, suck it up, kid. You got stung.
It's a lot of venom, Allie.
And?
Suck it up, kid.
A couple dozen wasps is a lot of venom. And wasp venom is worse than bee venom.
Did he die?
No, he went to the hospital.
Part of me may have died.
Did you get stung in the head?
Maybe my head. Maybe that's part of my issue.
Is your brain stung?
It's possible.
Yeah.
So what'd you get, like, anti-venom?
I don't remember. Allie, why are you asking me so many questions?
You got a lot of personal questions.
I got
questions.
Stung by like 26 wasps. That's it. That's all I
remember. How do
you
know how many wasps
I
were?
Went to the effing hospital.
Okay.
So
do they have a special wasp counting ward there?
They told me. I don't know. I don't remember.
But you remember the number.
I do. It's traumatic, Ralph.
Not trying to remember any other details.
Just your story just brought that all back.
Sorry.
Where they're making up wasps in a lab.
So do you like, bees?
They're not bees. They're wasps. Different.
Whatever.
But these ones don't sting.
Right. I was working in the lab late one night making wasps that Kevin would bite.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lenny James. When are you playing the freaking Monster Mash? When are we going to play that? It's Halloween, isn't it?
I'm in.
All right.
All right.
By the way, Ralph.
We don't have time here, but have you seen the Monster Mash controversy that's sweeping the internet right now?
Is there a controversy that's
sweeping the internet? I'll give you a dollar.
There's a new theory about the Monster Mash that is blowing people's minds, but we'll have to save it for another time.
Wow. Nice tease.
I'm going to put $20 on not blowing people's minds.
Blowing people's minds.
How about
minds?
Sweeping the internet? Are we getting money on sweeping the internet?
Neither.
A lot of people are saying, right? This is an important breakthrough.
Millions and millions of Monster Mashes, okay?
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lenny James, who plays Morgan in Walking Dead, 52. Luke Perry is 51. Jane Krakowski, 49 years old. Emily Deschanel is 41. Matt Bomer is 40 years old. Michelle Trachtenberg, 32. And rapper Cardi B turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Who's ready to give away some tickets to go see Depeche Mode?
Not me. Here's a hint. If you have a choice to make, if you're on the phone and you have a choice to make, choose Ali.
Yes. History has shown us that that's the way to go. Here's the deal.
Guys, remember that.
K-Rock presents D-Mode at Hollywood Bowl. Four big shows. Tomorrow night sold out. Saturday sold out. October 16th sold out. A few tickets available for October the 18th. Details at krock.com. Or you can win them right now with a game that we like to call the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to
So at least Dave has the awareness to realize he is terrible at this game.
What?
Well, no, I'm just not confident in these songs because I am.
It's a difficult. This may be a difficult round.
Yeah, because we are. Explain the rules because it's so much different than.
So Dave and Allie haven't looked at the list yet. They won't until we start their 45 seconds. But when they do, they open up the list and then they've got Depeche Mode songs and they have to get you, the listener, to say what Depeche Mode song they're talking about. And they can't And they can't use any of the words in the title. So they're going to try and talk around it so that you think of the song title and then you say it. We have 45 seconds. If you get stuck on one, you can pass.
And we can't describe the song.
Right.
We can only describe those words that are in the title.
In the title, yes.
Exactly. Look, it's not an easy game, but...
It's not the hardest game.
However, Allie has won about 99% of the time she's played this game. Her contestant has won the tickets to the show, so let's see how it goes today. Who is our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Carrie. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
All right, Carrie, you're going to go first with 45 seconds on the clock. You're going to go with Allie, all right?
Oh, are you picking me, Carrie?
Please.
Okay. Yes.
That answers that question. All right, any questions about the game before we hit the timer?
No, I'm ready.
All right, good luck.
The opposite of yes?
No.
And the opposite of bad?
Good. It's no good?
Yes. This is gossip, and it's like sacrilegious gossip.
Blasphemous rumors.
Yes. A lot of people would say somebody that owns slaves is a slave what?
Master and servant.
Yes. When you get in the car to drive, you are where?
Behind the wheel.
Yes, you are.
Behind the wheel.
This is a messiah, and it's your own Messiah. Yes!
Look at
ladies
that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes!
Wow. Yes! Well, let's just listen to the end of the clock, shall we?
We're still going, Carrie.
Oh, how about that right there?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how it is done.
Yes! Now, for an example of how not to do it.
It's going to be our man, Payman and Encino. Payman, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up?
Is it Payman, really?
Is it Payman or Paymon?
Well, it's Paymon, but most people say Payman.
I went to elementary school with the Paymon.
No way.
Really? Yeah, Paymon Solomonzada.
Yeah, what kind of ice it had?
Yeah.
What school, Allie, did you go to? Maybe this is your Paymon.
Westlake Hills Elementary.
No, not this one.
Okay. I mean, cool.
All right.
Whatever.
Well, listen, Paymon, thank you so much for listening.
He was Iranian. Are you Iranian?
I feel like we may be sidetracked right now.
He is. Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for calling. The bad news is Dave is your partner. The worst news is that Carrie got 5 of Depeche Mode titles. So you're really going to have to just nail this.
Yeah, Paymon, if you're as good as Carrie, this should be easy.
Yeah, right. And Dave, if you're as good as Allie, this should be easy.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right.
Go. Ready?
Good luck.
All right. What's another thing for touch? Not me. Touch, not me.
Feel.
Yes. But opposite of me. Or not the opposite of me, but.
Feel another. You. Feel you. Yeah.
Right.
I feel you.
Yes. All right. We write these as rules. The opposite of false.
False and truth.
All right. What are we? We as a group are?
Humans.
Yeah, humans are
people.
What?
Are people? People, yep. Are people.
All right, not running, but
walking.
Uh-huh.
Okay, walking now in my shoes. Walking, yes. In my shoes.
Okay. Let's see. Not hate. It's a weird hate. Opposite of hate.
Strange love.
Yes, it was Strange Love. By the way, ladies and gentlemen. Paimon, yeah, was an Paimon excellent contestant.
Yeah. Dave, you didn't suck as much as usual.
I know, right? But I was still, I'm yeah. just not familiar with
sorry,
this.
Paimon, but you
sorry,
did really,
Paimon,
but you did really well. Thank you.
Let's go back to Carrie, and once again, the girls win. Carrie, how do you feel about going to see Depeche Mode at Hollywood Bowl?
I am so excited.
Now, how do you feel about Allie helping you win these tickets, yet Allie still doesn't have a ticket to go to the show? How do you feel about that?
Allie, do you want to go to Depeche Mode?
Oh, you are so sweet, Carrie. Take somebody you love. That is so sweet of you, but I'm so happy you won.
Somebody.
Somebody you love.
And enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
By the way, Ralph, you brought up Monster Mash, Tis the Season for Monster Mash earlier today.
I did indeed.
He didn't say Tis the Season, though, but
what
go
about,
ahead.
What about
working in the lab late one night.
One of my great, I wasn't even going to say this here, but I'm going to say it since you started saying it. One of my great regrets of how poorly we archived the Kevin and Bean Show for the first 15 years that we did it.
I'm happy with this.
Is that we don't have our interview with Bobby Boris Pickett. And it's always bugged because the fact that we had Bobby Boris Pickett on the show is one of my favorite moments in the history of Kevin and Bean. It was such a thrill
That's
for
pathetic,
me.
First
no,
of all.
It was such a thrill
second
for me.
Second of all, nobody needs a Bobby Boris Pickett
right?
interview. We're not missing anything.
It wasn't good then, let alone now.
We're not missing a thing.
But I'm telling you, when I look back on the five people say that I'm most excited to have talked to in the course of
that
this show.
That is ridiculous.
Bobby Boris Pickett is one of them.
That's just ridiculous.
He's a boyhood hero.
I agree with Waspy.
He's not top five.
He's a boyhood hero. That's insane.
And you're bad.
He's the guy who wrote the Monster
he's
Mash.
He's not top five.
Top five.
He's not even a top five Pickett.
Of all the Picketts.
Oh, yes.
Right.
What I'm saying is it kills me that we don't have that tape. And if there's God, I hope this is true. If there's anyone out there who has a copy of the interview we did with Bobby Boris Pickett, please come forward.
Yes. What will you give them?
$100.
Wow.
$100.
By the way, Bean, that is.
That's like 10 grand for the rest of us.
Right.
He's really tight.
Hey, look, Ralph, are you aware that a listener just came up with on cassette, you and Doc on the Rock doing 9/11/01 coverage? Are you aware that that tape has now surfaced thanks to the B-Team podcast?
Well, it's been around.
That tape hasn't been around. We didn't have a copy of it.
It's in the Museum of Television and Radio.
Okay, none of us had access.
You could. You have access. You go to the museum and you can get it.
Just let me butt in here and say, being September 11th is not equal to
Bobby Boris Pickett.
You're right. The Monster Mash guy's bigger.
So I'm saying put that on your podcast.
No, I bring it up because I'm saying a lot of people out there have things that they might have been hanging on to that they haven't shared with us, and that would be a great opportunity for us to get the Bobby Boris Pickett.
Out of time.
I wish we had more time. Use it wisely.
You have a couple. Sorry.
All right. Moving on, I guess. Here's Ralph for the rest of the show.
What's the Bobby Boris Pickett Monster Mash story that's sweeping the nation, that millions of people, their minds are being blown? What was that? With that tease last hour?
I don't want to do it a disservice.
Let's do it tomorrow then. We'll schedule it tomorrow.
Save it for tomorrow.
But if it's not as impressive as you say, you owe us $1.
$100 for regular people.
$1.
$1. It doesn't have to be about money. It has to be about blowing minds is what it has to be about.
Right, and if it doesn't blow minds, $1.
Do it tomorrow. We'll talk some more about how great Bobby Boris Pickett was.
100 cents. How about that?
What about four quarters?
Right.
Here's Ralph for the rest of the show. Biz Biancara.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Los Angeles for the first time in weeks.
Ooh.
Looking forward to the play and the improv again there on Melrose. Come on out and join us. It's pretty simple to do. You go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and the rest, so easy. Come on out and see me and Kevin Smith. We're going to have a good time.
No.
We'll probably be talking about this piece of garbage Harvey Weinstein. This just broke this story. We were talking earlier in the day about the fact that, first of all, there's Multiple women have come forward and saying at least they were sexually harassed and assaulted by this man. Several, however, have said they were raped. We have three or four names we know for sure people said that. And we were asking if any of that could be actionable.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Well, here's what I know so far. If any of these assaults or rapes took place in New York State, it's a felony in New York, and there is no statute of limitations for rape in the state of New York.
Fantastic. That's good.
That possibility has caused Harvey to lawyer up, and he has just been taken on as a client by Blair Burke. If that name sounds familiar to you, she was Mel Gibson's lawyer when he went through his rant with the police there in Malibu. So she's got quite a collection of clients.
Those defense lawyers make big dough.
I understand that, and I understand everyone's entitled to a defense.
Yep.
But
it makes you a bad person.
How can you do that? How can you be that person to say, yeah, I'll take on Harvey's case? Knowing what you know, how do you do that?
What are you, a expert?
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying I couldn't do it.
I just want you to know that your whole relationship with me, everything about you was an offense to me. It offended me.
I'm sorry.
And pissed me off.
I'm sorry, Mel. I didn't mean to piss you off.
Has anyone else had this thought? And maybe I'm way off base here, but he, of course, left the country to go to rehab. He is going to rehab to
be
a sex addict.
He's going to be a better man now.
Anyone else think Polanski?
You think he's not coming back?
He may not come back.
Depending on how things shake down on this side.
I would assume he's going someplace with no extradition.
Yeah. He got the wherewithal.
Yep.
He got the financial wherewithal.
Yep. Wouldn't doubt it.
Lisa Bloom, at least, she walked away. The lawyer that was initially part of his team that was helping him rehabilitate, she has since quit because she said she had no idea. In all fairness, this was before the story came out in the New York Times and New Yorker. We had just heard what was coming.
Oh, I see.
After the actual articles came out, she said she had no idea the level of what was going on here, and then she recused herself and walked away from the situation.
Bitch, whore, gold digger.
Not to mention her mother's Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
Who now is representing some of these women in cases against Weinstein and perhaps Miramax. We don't know yet. But
she still knew quite a bit at the time, came out and doubled down on it. And when she quit, it was after, I think it might have been HuffPo or somebody released emails, internal emails, where she was lining up to discredit all of the women in the articles that were coming out. Let's not give her a pass just yet.
I'm not giving her a pass. I'm just saying she walked away. That's all. I was just reporting the fact that she left.
Can we not accept HuffPo as well?
I would like to put a sure. kibosh on that. Yes, that,
sure.
That'd be good.
That's what we want to focus on. Sure.
Oh, it's okay, Allie. We're just having fun. We're all friends, right? We're all just people. What are we? My favorite clue of title fight. What are we? It's like angry
Dave.
That guy
got it.
He got
somehow,
it.
Yeah.
Humans. Hey, this is a Bruce Springsteen kid. I think he's got a future. I think he's going to be all right. You know, his tickets went on sale for his Broadway stand that is going to be happening through the fall. And he is right now the third highest earning Broadway show on Broadway already.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. He has sold $2.3 million worth of tickets for his limited.
Now, again, limited is that run. Mostly scalpers?
No, this is just sales. This is ticket sales as reported by the theaters. What they're getting for the tickets after the fact has nothing to do with this particular number. This is what... So if scalpers bought
but
these...
But I feel like scalpers are all in on trying to get many as they can.
Scalpers have made $7 million off of this show.
Right. But I'm telling you, those tickets wouldn't sit there if the scalpers didn't pick them up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's selling out regardless.
Yeah, no question.
No matter who's buying and what the resale value is. Hamilton, of course, is number one. Second, Hello, Dolly.
With Kevin's girlfriend, Bette Midler.
Right. I was wondering if you're going to go see that, Kevin, because I know what a Bette Midler fan you are.
I was in New York this year, and that was playing, and my wife wanted to go.
Yeah, and you said, let's do it.
And she did. And she loved it.
You missed out.
Isn't the top ticket for that show like $1,000 or something?
For her, if you're going to see her, yeah. Because she's another limited deal. She's going to be leaving soon.
I can't do that.
I don't think that show is for you, Kevin.
Correct.
I think you made the right choice in that
Thank
case.
Thank you.
Well, hello, Dolly. Guys kicking?
Don't need
kick
it.
Kick lines? Nothing?
Don't need it.
That's official. Sylvester Stallone has said he will be directing the upcoming Creed 2 sequel to Creed. It's a good run while we had it, boys and girls.
Is your problem with his skills as a director, or just you fear his story credit?
All of the above.
Okay. You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
He's writing, bad manners. Writing and directing Creed 2. Creed worked because it was a separate, it was outside his purview in terms of that phenomenon. You know, I understand he created the characters and whatnot, and I was glad he participated, gave a great performance, but I think the magic that was that film was largely because of the director who had done Fruitvale Station, what's his name?
Yes.
Steve.
Not Steve at all.
Right.
No.
We all know who you're talking about. Yeah, right. Exactly.
It was a fresh take on these characters from an urban eye, which I thought was an interesting entree into revisiting these characters. My fear is, with Stallone back at the helm, we're going to get, if you can say, and I can do, then we can all get together and have the thing, and the Russians.
In here.
Right?
There were two guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million.
I guess so.
Думаю, что это лучше, чем даже 20 миллионов долларов.
So what I'm trying to say is...
What are you trying to say?
That if I can change...
Я думаю, что каждый тоже изменится.
And you can change.
Right.
Вы можете измениться.
Mm-hmm. Everybody can change. Каждый может измениться.
You know how the Russians love those Americans who come there and beat up their champions.
Right, and then ask them to change, and they change.
You know how the standing ovations happen.
Yep.
Ralph, our director is Ryan Coogler.
Thank you.
Fruitvale Station, Creed, and the upcoming Black Panther from Marvel as well.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be great. Today's celebrity birthday is Lenny James Morgan on The Walking Dead is 52 years old today. Luke Perry is 51. Jane Krakowski is 49. Emily Deschanel is 41. Matt Bomer. He is 40 years old. Michelle Trachtenberg is 32. And Cardi B. Give me a little Cardi B.
How's it hanging?
No, that's
I'm David Pumpkins.
No, that's David S.
And I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
It's a Cardi B. David S. Give me David S.
This is better now.
Any questions?
Nope, no questions at all. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We talked to Jim Rome because it's Thursday. We've got Rob Hubel, one of our favorite people in studio. We have Dr. Drew on the show and your tickets for Depeche Mode as well.